Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great to see you all here, especially at the Tiger Club at the back. First notice really is about the newsletter. They're all in the parish room at the moment in their bags, and the parish room will be open for you to take them today, of course, and to take them on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, because Tuesday is coffee morning, Wednesday is art group, and Thursday is art group. So it would be open to take, for you to take them then. Can you hear all right? Do remember, please, when you take the new sheets, to leave the bag behind. Is that correct?
If you can return the bag.
Or return the bag. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. More news on the way, on the new sheet today. Please read it carefully. Take it away and read it at home if you need to. But also take it away so that you can peruse it at your leisure. We've got the invitation from the vicar about evening and morning prayer. So every Friday on the week, Monday to Thursday, there will be evening prayer in this place at 5 o'clock. If you want to come, please do. Lighthouse. Light lunches at the at the village hall. That's 12 to 1:30, and it gives you the dates there as well. Please see Emma if you're coming. The dementia support group is meeting. And the next is at 20th of July. The One Can Trust is there as well, advertised. Heritage Weekend. September, 8th to the 10th of September. Thursday Art Group breaks up for the summer on the 21st of July and returns on Thursday the 7th of September. It's actually the 20th of July, isn't it? Yeah. Crafty Ones breaks up on the 21st of July. Okay. A Wickham Homeless Collection could do with cake. Bakes and makes. Okay, I think we're okay there. Nice to see Corinne here today, and nice to see everybody. So let's just take up our sheets. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. And our first hymn, Let Us With a Gladsome Mind, number 333.
Thank you.
come to our confession. So please sit down. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. We need the forgiveness of God. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
So may God forgive us, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. Amen. We are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? We ask God, and we are forgiven. The collect for today. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you, and that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we could desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we listen to the Word of God in the Bible, read by Deborah and Catherine.
The first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, beginning to read at verse 19. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padam Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even your body is subject to death because of sin. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, readers. Those two readings are key, I think, both of them, to our life with God. We need the Holy Spirit within us. We receive it in many ways. We receive it, the great preacher, John Wesley, felt a warming of his heart. Other people have fallen down. My particular encounter with God, I fell down. And I felt such peace. When we have the Spirit of God within us, peace is the thing we see most. And next morning, I turned open the Bible and it said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Isn't that wonderful? So it comes, the Holy Spirit comes when we ask it in many ways. Our next hymn is "You Are the King of Glory." Oh, we sing it twice. Number 627.
You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord.
Please sit down. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, beginning to read at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell on thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still another seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Tony Campolo, the Christian author, tells about joining a Baptist church and being baptized as a 9-year-old boy. Two other boys of his age were baptized with him that day. It was a small church, struggling. Not very long after Campolo was baptized, the church closed its doors and sold its building. I can imagine how discouraged the pastor must have been. It's difficult to handle a workload of a large congregation, but it's even more difficult to keep the faith when serving a small, struggling congregation. Many years after his baptism, Campolo was doing some research in the denominational archives and looked up the records of that little church. Leafing through those records, he came to the year when he was baptized. He says, "There was my name and Dick White's. He's now a missionary. Bert Newman, now a professor of theology in a seminary, was also there. Then I read the report from my year. Here's what Campolo read in the church record for that year. The record said, "It's not been a good year for our church. We have lost 27 members. 3 joined, and they were only children." And they were only children. Isn't that how we feel sometimes? We conduct worship services, we baptize people, we teach Sunday school and have a youth group, we contribute money to Lighthouse and all the other charities. But it's difficult to know whether anything is happening. It's easy to tally the scoreboard for the year, to know how many people attended church and how many were baptized. But it's far more difficult to know how many lives were truly changed. Things might be looking down from our perspective, but God might think they are looking up. The opposite can also be true. It's quite possible to fill pews and build buildings and run popular programs and fail to help people to walk with Jesus. We can't gauge our effectiveness as Christians or as a congregation with any certainty. But God can, and God knows. The church record that Tony Campola was reading said, three joined and they were only children. Only children. But one of them, Campolo, turned out to be an acclaimed Christian author and speaker. One turned out to be a missionary. One turned out to be a professor of theology. Sometimes great things happen, but we just can't see it. Perhaps that's why Jesus told the parable of the sower. Our gospel lesson for today. Jesus told his parable to encourage his disciples and to encourage us. It was his way of saying, don't lose heart. Things are happening. Jesus had just gone through a series of controversies. The disciples were into trouble with the religious authorities for plucking grain on the Sabbath. Jesus was in trouble for healing on the Sabbath. When Jesus healed a demonic, the religious authorities accused him of healing by the power of the devil. Then Matthew tells us, on that day, Jesus sat by the seaside. It was the same day that Jesus had experienced so much trouble. But when Jesus sat down and great crowds gathered around him, so many that Jesus got into a boat and pulled a few feet offshore to give himself space, then he began to teach them. He told them a parable, and we call it the parable of the sower. In this parable, Jesus talks about a sower who was sowing seed. Sowers at that time scattered the seed. They didn't have special machines to put them into the soil. They just scattered them. In this parable, so to see, some of the seed fell on the pathway, a path packed hard by the feet of many people. The seed couldn't sink its feet into the soil, so it just lay there on the surface. Birds saw it lying there, swooped down to eat it. Not much encouragement so far. And then some of the seed fell on rocky ground, where there was a thin layer of soil covering the rocks. The seed sank its feet into the soil and sprouted, but then its roots hit the rock and it could progress no further. The sun rose hot in the sky and baked those plants, which withered in the heat. Not much encouragement there. And then some of the seed fell among thorns. The seed cried to grow, but the thorns choked it out. No encouragement there. But then, if we listen, some of the soil some of the seed fell on good soil, and it sprouted, and it put down its roots, and it grew tall, and it produced an abundant harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, wow! So the sower's work was worthwhile after all. The sower wasted a little here and there, but the seed that fell on the good soil grew like anything. And so it is with us. We conduct services, the Sunday school, the youth group, lots of activities. Some people come here and listen to the word of God and fail to understand it. And the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown in the path. And those are Jesus' words. First ball. Some people came here and listen to the word of God and get excited. They submit themselves as candidates for baptism and join the church. They show up every time the church doors open. And we say, look, isn't this great? But there's a shallowness to their lives. The good soil is just a quarter of an inch deep. And a rock forms a hard barrier just under the soil. When oppression or persecution comes, because of the word, the seed, immediately they stumble. Those are Jesus' words. Second ball. Then some people come here and listen to the word of God, and they start to grow. God starts to get a full foothold in their lives. But then they caught up with their jobs and their golf game and watching cricket and taking the family to the seaside. And we never see them again. The thorns choked out the word. Or as Jesus puts it, what was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Hat trick. But listen to this. Jesus doesn't call us out. Three down, but the game isn't over. There are people over there quietly growing, humbly serving, trying to do what God wants them to do. They aren't much to look at. They look like ordinary lay readers and choir members and Sunday school teachers and ushers, and youth leaders, and children, and young people, and an occasional cook or dishwasher or cleaner. And they aren't doing it perfectly. They aren't a well-oiled machine. Sometimes they sing off-key, or drop the offering plate, or talk too loud and too long. Sometimes Sunday school teachers can't get the kids' attention. Sometimes young people run in the hall. Sometimes kids drop their Kool-Aid on the carpet. Sometimes we, Jesus' disciples, are a real mess. But the Holy Spirit gives us a nudge. Things begin to happen. Little by little, people grow into faith. Little by little, they learn to serve. Little by little, they begin to get it. It happens over here and over there. And soon, things are popping all over. Jesus puts it this way. What was sown on the good ground, this is he who hears the word and understands it, who most certainly bears fruit and brings forth 100, 60, and 30 times. And that's us, brothers and sisters. Jesus was talking about you and me. Take heart. Good things are happening. God's things are happening, all in God's time. Jesus didn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. Then he asks us one more thing, that we trust him to take care of the results. And be assured, he will do just that. If we serve faithfully, Jesus will take care of the rest. Take heart. Believe. Be faithful. Serve well. Amen.
Amen.
Now we come to our next hymn, number 443. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We sing this twice. Roger will come and pray for us.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church today, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit and for hearing our prayers. A prayer for Samuel, our new vicar. Wonderful God, we pray for Samuel, our newly appointed vicar. We thank you for him and his wife Linnea, and we pray that you will bless them in their ministry in Penn and Tyler's Green. May their presence among us bring renewal and vitality in our church. Give us the grace to grow in faith and love as we worship and work together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for wisdom. We reflect on Jacob and Esau and pray for the wisdom to cherish the blessings which we should treasure and the avoidance of sinful ways which we as Christians should reject. Help us to have wisdom in our lives and to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Help us to be the good soil in which the seeds of Christianity will grow in this church and community. We pray for wisdom amongst those in the media and the social media, and for the good news of hope and optimism and decency to fill your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our leaders, especially our own. We pray for our world leaders at this critical time, that they will use their immense power to do good and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating wars, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Let there be peace and reconciliation in our world, and let love overcome mistrust and conflict. We pray again for the end of the brutal war in Ukraine and the threats of new global conflicts and the end of famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for others known to us. We pray for those who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are suffering from illness, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with our responses to their difficulties. We pray for those on our notice sheet who are now in recovery. We give thanks and praise for Corinne Summers. Dear Corinne, here with us today. And in recovery and receiving treatment, Mervyn Shepherdley, Paul and Jean Ricketts' daughter-in-law Amanda, Christine Nesbitt, and Caden Edwards. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Help the Holy Spirit to keep us free from sin and inspire us to share our Christian love with others so that they too can know Jesus. And now we say together the Lord's Prayer in your notice papers, the prayer leaflet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. And now, so let us stand and declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in on heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we stand, we sing our offertory hymn, There's a Sound on the Wind, number 547.
Thank you.
And as we stand, let us face each other across the aisle. We say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all
evermore. Amen. And the blessing, God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us, the gentleness of your Spirit lead us, and the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. Amen. So let us go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Coffee time.